Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed the child in their midst. Putting his arms around the child, he said, "Whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the day before we begin Lent, Jesus announces to us, "Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." The whole purpose of Lent is to prepare us for the sacred Triduum, in which we enter into this mystery Jesus himself announces. When he announced it the first time, we have what I like to consider the saddest scene in the Gospel. Jesus says that people are going to murder him. Instead of any consolation whatsoever, the apostles begin to jockey ambitiously for positions in his kingdom. They totally ignore him. They don't give him any consolation whatsoever. This wasn't the only time it happened. The first time Peter announced this, he pulled Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. This is the second in today's gospel. The third time when Jesus announces it, the mother of the sons of Zebedee asked Jesus to give his sons the choicest seats on his left and his right as he entered into his kingdom. As I like to give the analogy, it's like your father came to you and said the doctor gave him 2 weeks to live. And all the kids talk about is who's going to get the house and who's going to get the wheels and who's going to get the bank accounts. Rather than journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, they were still looking at things through their earthly eyes. That's why Jesus, as a remedy to this type of negative ambition, the selfish ambition St. James talked about yesterday in the first reading, Jesus doesn't castigate the ambition. He tries to convert it. And so that's why he takes a child, places the child in their midst, and says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be the last of all and the servant of all. Whoever receives one child such as this," and why does he choose a child? Because a little baby, and that's what the Greek means. Little baby can't repay. Little baby can't get into a quid pro quo. Little baby can't even say thanks. Parents are awake all night caring for a baby, changing the baby's diapers, feeding the baby, working to support the baby. And sure, there's some intrinsic repayment that happens simply through loving a child. But there's never going to be a quid pro quo. That's why Jesus says we need to serve, especially those who are not going to pay us back. Because in welcoming people who won't pay us back, we're indeed welcoming him and welcoming the Father who sent him. Jesus wants us to have his ambition to be the greatest through becoming the least, becoming someone who rules with Jesus precisely through serving everyone. St. James, in his first reading, teaches us about the destructive force of selfish ambition, but also the remedy. First, the destructive force. Where do wars and conflicts among you come from? And he answers the question, from your passions that are at war within you. Every external conflict comes from an internal conflict. If we're ambitious for things, for prestige, for fulfilling basically the threefold concupiscence within, we shouldn't be shocked that that type of tearing apart is going to be happening in society. Comes from false desires, which we absolutize aspects of the good rather than keeping them ordered to what they are means for. We covet. And even if we get what we covet, it still doesn't satisfy, St. James says. We kill in envy. We kill within us before we ever kill on the outside. We don't possess, he says, because we don't ask. What he means there is we don't pray. We don't turn to the Lord for the most important things. And when we do ask, we ask wrongly in order to spend it on our this worldly desires. We'll pray for our kingdom, our will, and our name to be hallowed rather than God's. And all of that, he says, is the sin of adultery. It's the worship of this worldly idols. And to worship this worldly idols is to have enmity to God. I mentioned a week ago Monday when we started on this letter of St. James that the earliest saints always saw it as almost a line-by-line commentary and application of the Sermon on the Mount. It's in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus stresses we cannot serve both God and money. We can't serve two masters. And St. James is making the same point here. If we're serving the master of the world, the master of our illicit passions, then ultimately there will be enmity, there'll be spite toward God, and we will become murderers, even of God. So what's the remedy? St. James at the end gives us a Lenten pattern. 9 verbs that show us the path to rehab. First, submit yourselves to God. Put yourself under God's mission to make you holy. Turn over all your cares to the Lord, as we prayed in the psalm. It starts with God and our allowing God his place. Second, resist the devil and he'll flee to you. A lot of the times we give him an open door. We don't fight. We make his job so easy. Jesus doesn't say beat the devil. He just simply says start by resisting him, because then he'll flee you for an easier target. We go out with Jesus for 40 days in the desert precisely to learn with him how to resist. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That we seek to put ourselves in God's milieu, we come closer to him, not just in prayer, but also we come close to him in others, recognizing that whenever we receive someone in his name, we are receiving God himself. Verbs 4, 5, and 6 are intensifications of the same thing. Sorry, 4 and 5, I was getting ahead of myself. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you of two minds. The purification is supposed to be not just external, but interior. It's supposed to impact both the fruit and the tree. To cleanse our hands by using them to pray. To cleanse our hands by using them for friendship. To cleanse our hands by using them for charity. Purify our hearts so that we might see God. And when we see God, we're then able to behave appropriately. Now at long last, 6, 7, and 8, begin to lament, mourn, and weep. Three verbs, all growing the same reality, to do reparation for the times where we have followed our disordered passions, and others have as well. Jesus promises that those who mourn will be consoled. And so we do mourn during the season, but we mourn with hope. Your joy, he says, will be turned in. Your dejection will be turned into joy. And then lastly, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. To recognize that we need God's help in everything, that we are lowly, that without him we can do nothing. But when we approach him with that type of humility, he will be able to do with us something great. Today, on this last day, we're able to celebrate a votive mass for several months. We celebrate a mass of someone who lived these nine verbs. St. Joseph is one who did humble himself. He was constantly humbling himself in order to draw close to the Lord. He submitted himself in beautiful obedience to God. He is, as we were talking about the other day, not just the resister of the devil, but the terror of demons. He was one who calloused his hands out of loving service, cleansing them, because his heart was purified with love. He was one who was capable of lamenting, mourning, and weeping over the terrible destruction that was being done by Herod and others. And ultimately, he is one who received a little child in the name of God and raised that child to make us all children of God. This day before Lent begins, as Jesus announces to us the itinerary of his passion, so that we might follow in his steps. He teaches us about holy ambition, to become the servant of the rest. And St. James gives us the verbs to put that holy ambition into practice. As Jesus announces his death and resurrection, let us not revert like his first followers to focusing on this worldly things in advancement. But let us seek to become truly great. That's what Lent is meant to do.